The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show.
Ooh.
I think this is the first time Noelle's heard the opening song.
Nah, I've heard it before. It's just...
I mean, I like it. While we do the show.
Really?
I don't know if you listen to the recorded version, but we always would do it cold because I just never sat down to edit the song.
I feel like I heard it like at least once before.
It's the closing to Yashahime Season 1.
It really?
Yeah. Which is not a great show, but I really like that song.
It's a good song.
We are joined this episode by Kyle, who was on the last episode of The Newsbroom. How are you doing, yes. Kyle?
Doing well. We'll not plug Final Fantasy this time.
Although, technically, I'm releasing these out of order, so you would have been on The Newsbroom 2 weeks ago, unless you want to be on the recording we do tomorrow. I know you didn't sign up for that one.
I might actually do that.
That would be great. I really enjoyed doing that with you and Vinny. I thought it was a good dynamic. So this is the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. The whole point is that we kind of just sit and chat about what we've been doing, re-anime manga and sometimes video games for an hour. It is, I think I'm going to start releasing these on Wednesdays. Mm. I want to do these more often. So Wednesdays probably at 4 p.m. because that's when I have the show replay on WJMOE radio, which I've not really told a lot of people about yet. It's a anime radio station that I've been working on. It's WJMOEradio.com. It's technically been up for a month. I just haven't shared it because it hasn't been ready. And it's still technically not ready, so don't listen to it.
Yeah, that's right. Gonzo anime coverage comes straight to your airwaves through your ear holes.
I think it's going to be fun.
Your ear holes through the airwaves.
What I want to do is start doing exclusive podcasts on there. Like, obviously, you'd be able to download them later, but hear it first on the streaming. Because I've done a version of this over the years, and I always enjoyed doing it. I just never had the technology to do it the way I wanted to, and now I do. Anyway.
$6 million man, you have the technology.
Yeah, $6 million man, hopefully, because I got my electric bill yesterday, and it was $415. And... I'm almost certain that that's an error because I called the company and I was like, yo, guys. So how come in the summer when I was home all day and had the air conditioning on blast, my bill was one third this price and now I'm never home and nothing's on? And they're like, yeah, your meter's broken. We just guessed how much power you were using. Like, you guessed high? Nicely enough, I used 420 kilowatts or whatever their measurement is. Okay. Like, get the fuck out of here. Or no, maybe it was 1,000. It was something bad. Kyle, don't ever pay the electric bill. It's all a scam.
Sounds like it. Jeez.
Don't ever pay any bills. Taxation is theft.
Oh my God.
Snake flag, whatever. I don't know.
The snake flag is alt-right.
I thought, isn't it like libertarians or some shit?
I don't know. You're talking about the don't same tread thing, on right? me snake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about. We've watched a lot of anime. We watched Amaim, Yashahime, Back Arrow, Ranking of Kings. I might do a horny baby update.
Ooh, yeah.
And I know Kyle wants to talk about some Digimon. But
that's me.
Before we get into Digimon, I wanted to talk about a really important tweet that I came across. This was posted on November 27th. We are recording this on, what is it, December 3rd, I think?
Yeah.
And I don't know how this flew under the radar for so long, but this is from an internet culture war of Vic Mignogna fans versus sane people. And this is from one of the people that sides with Vic Mignogna. I've been following this really closely. This all started in about 2019, I think January. Where there was a Twitter user who goes by Mars Girl. I don't know her actual name. I think it's Kaylin Sosato. She posted like, hey, I think it's time that we do something about Vic Mignogna. Like, he's been getting away with this for too long. And she just like threw out a hashtag called Kick Vic.
Right. And like, it had always been a thing that, like Vicky Margarine is like, it had been a thing where like people had said, yeah, he's kind of creepy around fans and he's kind of an asshole to his peers and con staff and such, but it was never made as huge a deal as it is now, because that's what happens when you voice the main character in the most popular anime of like the 2000s.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I think it also, because Twitter wasn't around, or Twitter wasn't as popular when we were all talking about it. Like, there's a podcast I did in 2010 where I'm talking about this same stuff. So it's not it's not like somebody just decided one day in 2019 that they wanted to go after him. It also, with the prevalence of the Me Too movement, all of that combined, people were finally listening and taking accusations seriously.
Right.
And it started a culture war on the internet.
Yeah, and I'm only saying that because like the common thing that people say is like, oh man, they're only going after Vic because the Dragon Ball Broly movie did well.
I mean, possible, but he plays a guy that yells a couple times.
He plays a guy who has like five lines.
Anyway, so that eventually turned into a lawsuit. I think it was a defamation lawsuit.
Yes.
Where he brought, it was Monica Rial, Jamie Markey, Monica Rial's husband, whose name I can't remember.
Neither.
And Funimation,
yeah,
the company, to court. And it got thrown out by the judge after several months. And then he brought it up for appeals. And that was, I think, over 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And so we haven't really heard anything about it. But meanwhile, we're getting to the point. This Twitter war never ended.
Nope.
And one
war never changes.
One of the most recent tweets as part of this war is this guy, Nate, the ET researcher, who...
That's a name.
I cannot tell if this is a troll account or if this is a seriously like unstable person. And you'll understand why as I begin to read this tweet. To all the fans and to Vic supporters, I have several analysis on Monica Rial. According to anonymous users, she secretly made deals with George Soros and the hashtag Reptilians to put political power over fandom community. Sounds strange, but it's true. That's why Vic Mignogna knew about Rial's toxic behaviors, as she accused him for power. And yes, Monica Rial don't care about her own fans, but using them as pawns to destroy fandom democracy. Be aware and be cautious of Monica Rial. Don't trust her, period. Then there's an alien emoji, a Spock live long and prosper emoji. What looks like, that's a spaceship emoji. I thought that was an explosion. And then an American flag.
See, the grammatical errors makes me think that this is not somebody just doing a bit, that this is someone who's genuinely disturbed, who thinks that the lizard people are going to come and take his penis. I don't know.
He also added a Simpsons meme to it, and it's the I can't remember his name. The principal Skinner, is that his name?
Yeah, Skinner.
It says, "Is my franchise destroying itself?" No, it's the fans who are wrong.
Well, I mean, if you're a real Simpsons head, you'll know that his real name is Iroquois Plissken, or
Jesus Christ.
Not Iroquois Plissken. That's the guy from Metal Gear Solid. I don't remember.
Who's the real Simpsons head now? This is just one of the most outrageous tweets I've read in a while. I don't have a lot to say about it. I just wanted more people to know it existed. Because most of the Vic Mignogna fighting has just been calling each other names or saying, like, you lied about this to get this and such power.
Right, yeah.
But this one goes straight into, like, Illuminati theories and, like, anti-Semitic theories.
Yep.
And it's just, like, lizard people. If we're going to sit and make conspiracy theories about anime voice actors, I really want it to be this level of outrageous. Because at least this is entertaining.
Let's go.
I know Kyle hasn't chimed in a ton. Did you have anything to say about all of this?
Just, you know, when your secret plot makes the, you know, like Evangelion or like Giant Robo look less complicated by comparison, I jump the shark or just another lemming leading each other. Like, I wonder how much of it is, like you guys said, whether it's trolls leading these lemmings off the, you know, off the side of the cliff or, but either way, it's Twitter.
A long time ago, I had this plan where I was going to try to infiltrate one of these fan groups. And this was pre-Gamergate. So like a lot of people weren't sharing this type of nonsense yet.
You were going to pull a Bobrick?
I was going to pull a Bobrick. I had a Twitter account that I had been using because I started this blog under a fake name where I was just posting like really mundane blog posts. And I was going to try to befriend these people and just make it look like I was just any other like boring anime fan to try to like learn more about these people. And it got boring very quickly, but... I understand if that's what this person is doing, they've succeeded probably. My favorite part about this isn't even the post itself. It's the one reply to the tweet that just says, please show your analysis. And it's like, I don't care what side that person is on, whether they believe it or think this guy's out of his mind, just that they're asking to see his research.
Yeah. And I think you replied something like, I've DM'd you my notes.
Oh my God. I haven't checked it recently, but, I've been informed that this guy is, posting like this all of the time and that, it only gets, more outrageous and more racist. So,
okay.
You know, not a great person, but worth a laugh.
Okay.
I guess.
Also, I just looked it up. Armin Tamzarian. That was Principal Skinner's real name.
What background do they claim that is?
I don't know. It's some episode where it's like, he's not the real Principal Skinner. He's some dude that Principal Skinner met in Nam or some shit.
Oh God. So the next thing that I have on here now, when I was researching this, I found that this is old news, but I haven't talked about it. This, I believe, came out in May of 2020. It was a Japan-only thing at the time. It must have been, because I got an email not even 24 hours ago advertising this. So I assume that it's now available to purchase in America. And this is for Evangelion underwear. Let me send you the link, Kyle, in the... Do you still have Discord open?
Yes.
I'm going to drop the link in the Discord. They have a few different flavors of this, but the one that I grabbed is the Asuka flavor. And the picture that they sent me in the email is so funny because these are the types of underwear that have a special pouch for your dong.
Yeah, it has like extra dong space. I noticed that.
And
and it's also like low riding, I feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got a few pictures on the link, I think, of people wearing them. What's really funny about this picture that they sent me, and maybe I'll put it in the notes or use it as the featured image, is they picked a picture of the Ava Unit 2, I assume, because there's a 2 on here.
Yep.
And they really accented its dong, and it looks like they're trying to imply that this underwear is going to make your dong look like an Ava's dong.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I'm out of my mind after a long day outside, like 10 hours in the cold, barely awake, and I get this email. I think I'm hallucinating it. The company is called Toot.
Toot.
And I don't know if you've opened up that link, Kyle.
I have.
But the underwear are $70 a pair.
Oh, boy.
But what, I mean, you can't put a price on this. This is,
yeah.
I mean, even if you look at it, the toot is a, it makes like, it looks like there's balls at the top and the bottom.
Well, this is like a popular thing with underwear lately, is they have like the dick and balls holder. And I don't know if either of you have experimented with this style of underwear, but it's not comfortable. And I think that people are being gaslit into believing that it's comfortable because they can charge extra for the ball slot.
Okay. Like, is it... Because I always thought, is the intention here to, like, separate the dick and balls from your thighs?
It depends. So, well, yes. Well, some of them, I think the idea is to separate. I'm sorry, everybody that's listening to this, but there is a sexual content warning at the beginning. I think some of it is to separate the dick from the balls. So, okay. Like, on a sweaty day, they're not sticking together.
I see. Okay.
But I think, ultimately, it is to prevent chafing on the thighs. But at least me, I've worn not this pair. This pair also looks like little booty shorts.
Yeah, it's like that's briefs. What I'm saying. It's like they're like low cut.
It's uncomfortable. That guy, his butt is being compressed, and he is pretty like he's muscular, but like what the fuck? Who are these made for?
I'm gonna pull up the
twinks. That's who it's made for. My God. They're made for. Oh my God. They're made for cow room.
I've pulled up the picture of a person wearing them. And they are definitely something you would wear if you were a male stripper.
Yeah, like I'm surprised. I'm very surprised they did not get in touch with Yoshiyuki Sadamoto to get him to draw, you know, just advertising images of like Shinji and Kaoru just wearing these shorts.
Oh, is that the Ava character designer?
Yeah.
There might be. I didn't dig too deep in here, but
because I mean, we have that wonderful shaving ad of Gendo, you know, shaving with these razors that they were selling.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know why.
It's just like they're not. I don't know. I think it's my. I have OCD, and so I've tried to wear this style of underwear, and all I can think about is like the fabric. And it's too much, but some people swear on these, not this specific brand, but the compartment style underwear. I don't know. All of you people are out of your mind. I brought this up also because I wanted to use it as a transition into talking about Evangelion. The box set, the Blu-ray box set just came out technically. It's not out, but by the time this podcast comes out, it will be officially out. Because I believe it drops, official street date is December 8th. But people that pre-ordered it have started to receive it early. I haven't seen anybody with the Ultimate box set yet. But people that ordered the middle tier box set.
That's are, the one that's it. Like, it's like huge, right?
Yeah, you could build a house out of it.
Nice.
Kyle, did you partake in this? Venture?
Not the special. I have the standard edition right here. That showed up a few weeks because I just have sent that stuff early. But
well, I think the standard one came out in November. Like, you're talking about the $50 one?
Yeah, I just bought the regular basic ass bitch one.
Yeah, that one I believe came out a couple weeks early, whereas the special editions were always set for December. So I got the middle tier one yesterday. I'm an idiot and I have it all the way on my TV stand right now, so we can't be looking at it, but
I mean, I can look at it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're welcome to grab it if you want to. It comes in a black box with like danger reticles all over it.
Oh no, never mind.
The underwear still?
These were
you do yes. Do you still want to talk about the underwear?
Oh no, I was just trying to get you.
Okay, my mistake. It wasn't the whole box. It was just these two.
Oh yeah, the box like, I have DVD on the TV cases. Stand itself.
Oh okay. Well yeah, we could talk about these. I like the color stripe.
I watched because I'm halfway through the show, so I started with episode 12. I think it looks really good. Justin Savakis and his company Media OCD did the authoring for this. Justin always does phenomenal work. The only complaints I have about it is my box showed up with a gash on it, and it's not bad enough that I want to deal with sending it back and waiting a month to get a new one. So that's a little annoying because this is like a $200 box set.
Right.
But it's really minimal, and it's going to get scratched up anyway on my shelf because the material that they used to make these boxes, you can just tell it's going to get scratched up. But the thing that really annoys me about this, and Kyle, you buy a lot of normal movies, not just nerd stuff, so maybe you can tell me if this happens a lot in that world. the discs aren't numbered properly.
Mm. Oh.
Does this happen? Like, do you buy TV on DVD or on DVD on Blu-ray? Like, is this a common thing?
Let's see. How are they not numbered correctly? One second.
So the ultimate box, or not the ultimate box set. Well, I guess that one as well. But the middle tier box, it comes with three boxes of discs. The first box has 1 through 5. The second one is 7 through 12 or 7 through 11, and then the third one is disc 6.
I see.
Like, I'm looking at this right now, and yeah, this is. And because wait, so
let me see which ones you have in front of you. Yeah, you have 0 and 2.
Yeah, I'm looking. This says disc 7, and then I'm looking at the contents, and it's episode 1 through 7 of the show.
That's because the middle tier comes with the ADV version and the Netflix version.
So it's
on a separate disc.
What?
I don't know why they did it, but I think it was so they could exclude it from the version Kyle got.
Okay.
And I think that's why they're numbered this way too, because Kyle, you should have also gotten the special features.
Yes, I get all the special features, but mine only comes with 1 through 5.
Oh, you don't have a disc 6?
No disc 6 at all.
Oh, then that doesn't make any sense. I figured it was so they could put 1 through 5 of the Netflix dub and then disc 6, but then they renumbered it for the special one.
So if I want to compare dubs, I have to
watch 2 discs.
Jeez. Yes. So weird.
But what's, you know, you could just reorder the discs. Like, oh, well, now I have them in order, except the boxes that they're in are 1, 2, 0. And so box 1 is, 1 through 5. Box 2 is 7 through whatever. And box 0 is disc 6.
Okay. I mean, it looks like what they were trying to go for was like the specific Avas.
Oh, cause, sure.
Yeah, because like, oh, disc, like box 2, it has like the color stripe for like Asuka's Ava, and then
that's fair.
Here we have Shinji's here.
The design looks good.
I mean, yeah, that's a
and this isn't just a G-Kids thing. G-Kids does something that I really appreciate, though. G-Kids just goes right to the movie.
Hmm.
Whereas like Funimation and Discotech, you have to watch an ad first. Discotech lets you skip the ads. Funimation doesn't.
Oh, okay.
So I appreciate the Discotech at least lets you skip the ads. But I've started to notice this in anime just across the board. The Yu Yu Hakusho Steel Box, their episode labels on each disc is wrong.
Really?
And I found this out because I had watched the first disc of one of them. And when I went back, I'd swapped out and watched some other stuff in between getting to the next disc. And I'm looking at the episode numbers on the disc like, oh, well, I left off on episode 17. Oh, I guess that's on disc 3, though. Okay, well, I thought I was blah, blah, blah. So I put in disc 3, and it's like episodes 20 through whatever. Like, what is going on? And it's clear to me that they just reprinted old discs and didn't change the artwork.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever on it, because they also have like Full Metal Alchemist ads on these these discs. Yes. And they don't have Full Metal Alchemist anymore. I think Aniplex does.
Really? Yeah. I was not aware of that.
Sony owns both, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, maybe that's why. I mean, it's either a cross of laziness or they're like, oh, we own it now. We can just leave it.
But I also have their Helsing Ultimate collection.
Actually reminds me, I saw a tweet by Mike Toole earlier today. Apparently, I guess Funimation, they let whatever license lapse where they can't refer to Beck as Beck Mongolian Chop Squad. They have to just call it Mongolian Chop Squad now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's because I worked on a movie called Beck. I wonder if that's why.
Maybe.
Was
it the American adaptation of the
anime? No, it's a movie about a woman who like tries to steal some guy's wife. It's okay. An all right film. It's a cute little indie film.
Like kidnap her or
no,
like
get her to go like NTR.
Okay.
Like they're in love. She doesn't do it against her consent.
Oh, okay.
But that was the first film I did in New York. All right, nice. But, yeah, the Helsing Ultimate discs are also labeled wrong.
Okay.
It's great. So, you know, it's just it's something that really frustrates me because we specifically in the anime fandom, we talk a lot about how like physical media is superior. And it's like, well, could we actually try on the discs then? Because like this is, you're paying more money to watch these shows and you're phoning it in on the actual packaging.
I mean, I feel like even that mentality is starting to die out because I feel like so many kids nowadays are just used to streaming services either by like Crunchyroll or like www.iloveanime.edu or whatever. Yeah. You illegally watch anime on nowadays to the point, sure, where like the kids don't even know about torrenting.
That is, I couldn't tell you the last time I torrent. I can't even say the word anymore.
I mean, I torrent stuff every once in a while.
I just don't find I have to.
I still have to because, was it, I watch Kamen Rider.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to find a streaming service for Kamen Rider.
Yeah, the only reason that I would need to download something now is if I want to watch an anime that is out of print.
Right.
That's really the only time I would do it. Or I've done it to watch stuff that I've worked on that got canceled and is no longer available.
Oh, okay.
I worked on this show called Deception. Hmm. Well, that, I don't even think they finished filming it. And so the only way I was able to watch Deception was by downloading it, which is silly. It's like, you guys made this, just put it on your server. It might be available now, but at the time it wasn't.
Yeah. And similarly, I wanted to watch Devil Hunter Yoko because I heard them talk about it on Anime World Order.
Yeah. I don't think I think that's long on a print.
Yeah. That's great. Which is, apparently that was like the first thing ADV did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I had no idea.
Because I think they had the video game. And they got the show as like a video game tie-in.
Oh, okay.
And they realized like, oh shit, more people are buying this anime stuff.
Well, yeah, because the game doesn't have tits.
Kyle, you wanted to talk about Digimon.
Yeah, just, you know, that's what I'm watching, so I thought might as well.
Where are you watching, like the original? Or are you watching? I don't know anything about Digimon. I know there's like a dozen spinoffs.
Yeah, so this actually is ironic because you were just talking about piracy, but like, you know, all that we get over here is the Americanized version, you know, sure. Like we don't get the sub stuff, and it all has like, you know, the Digimons, like everything, all the music's replaced, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
this is still true of the newer ones, like Try and Tamers?
Well, so those came out, those actually have both. At least try. So let me preface what I've, so this is what I've been watching. This is a project with my friend over the past few months. Basically we started right at the beginning because we'd only seen like the Digimon movie back when we were kids and like a few episodes. So we're like, all right, let's start from the beginning, you know, subs, everything right. So we watched all of the first series, the regular, you know, like the old one, the 90s mm-hmm. one. And then we watched 02. Then we watched all the movies.
Jesus.
And then we watched, that's three movies, that's two series. And then we watched, because we were trying to get to Last Evolution Kizuna, the final one. But we realized like we had a lot of work to do. And we just finished Try a couple days ago. So we're right up to Last Evolution Kizuna. And I have just like a bone to pick now.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but outside of two movies and two whole episodes of Digimon, Digimon ain't great.
Why do you keep doing it?
I don't know. I'm just a glutton for punishment. And I have too many Digimon movies that I bought that I'm like, okay, like this next one has to be it.
You're invested now. Yeah.
So, all right. We were watching the first one and it's like pretty good. It's okay. Like whatever. There's one episode that is like an all-time great episode. It's number 21. And that was the midpoint of the series. And it was all downhill from there. It failed to live up to itself. And I'm like, okay. But the whole time, we were just trying to get to Try and Last Evolution. So we're like, no. Try. That'll be the one that's good, right? And then we got to Try. And oh boy. Try is the worst. There's nothing else to say.
That's the one where they're all teenagers, right?
It's so bad.
Have you considered that you're, what, 29, 30 watching Digimon?
I thought of that. And well, it should still be a good show.
Well, but those later movies aren't isn't that who it's supposed to be for? It's supposed to be the 20, 30-year-olds who watched, like, the original Digimon.
Yeah. Well, Chiaki Konaka grew up to be a lunatic. So that probably doesn't help.
Hmm.
I don't know how much of it he worked on. I just know that he did that stage play.
Yes.
Where they have to fight cancel culture.
Oh, yes.
It's,
see, what it really comes down to is that, like, the good Digimon is basically all Hosoda. And without him, Digimon, the people don't, like, understand or, like, care. So it'll do this thing constantly. I just have to, like, again, just go on, like, a small rant. But they'll do this thing where, like, they'll have, like, a mini arc of, say, like, I don't know, 8 episodes, like, 8 to 10. And they'll be kind of building it up very nice. And you're just like, wow, like, this is really deliberate. And they're, like, really putting the time. And then out of nowhere, they're like, it feels like someone from the head office went like, this has to end now. And they're like, all right, well, instead of having, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes to wrap up all of these arcs individually, let's finish all of them in a single episode. And also let's introduce like 5 crazy ideas that are just like, oh, like we never mentioned it, but there are also prophecies. And oh, by the way, you're all going home now. And also your friend over there is actually evil. Bye. And you're like, wait, what?
Oh yeah. Didn't they kind of do that in like the final arc of the original show where like everybody.
Oh, they do that constantly. That's what I'm saying. Like you think it's just once, but it happens like every 8 to 10 episodes, they will do that. And you're just every time you're like, but then you're like, they're like, no, they're like, okay, they did that really awful catch up episode that was bad, but the last 8 have been really good. Maybe they've
This sounds like me watching Yashahime.
Wait, hold on. The awful catch up episode, like the condiment?
No, not catch up. Okay. Just like an awful, like, okay, like we need to, again, like, okay, we need to wrap it up. They just have a wrap it up episode that's like one in one of them, they introduced that there's like Digimon gods and that the Digimon are also like came out of a hot pot. And like it's like a lot.
Right,
yeah. You know what happens, because this happens with people that work on Pokemon as well, is I think it's just if all you do, if your entire job is working on this long-running kid series, you eventually lose your mind. Because one of like the key animators of Pokemon went on to make that show where the honey badger is like really hot and horny.
Oh yeah.
Killing Bites?
Yes, Killing Bites.
And the head writer, I don't know if it was a key animator. He worked on a lot of Pokemon though. One of the like the head writer of the original series lost his mind and like drank himself to death.
Oh yeah.
I read a really interesting like blog post of his where he would just talk about getting super fucked up and like writing a movie about how Ash dies and the studio is like, you can't kill Ash. But yeah, I want to.
Yeah, I think that was like I think that was the impetus for like Pokemon 2000, and then he ended up creating Lugia and everyone was like, oh snap. And Lugia was supposed to be just for that movie, but they're like, it looks so cool. We got to put it in a video game.
He had a quote that was something like, I know that it's time to write when I've drank so much that I can't do math anymore.
Nice.
And that is how he wrote like all of Pokemon until he died. I wish I could remember his name. I have that blog saved somewhere. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes. But can't imagine that working on Digimon is any better. We've got about 20-ish minutes.
Okay.
We've got a lot of anime to talk about. Yeah.
You can go ahead.
No worries. And Noelle have been watching this show called Amime.
Yes.
Warriors at the Borderland.
It's basically Code Geass, but like it has a really direct, like, hard right agenda with it, where it's very much like, you know, we got to get these foreigners out of our country.
Yeah, if Getter Robo was racist, and instead of dinosaurs, they were actual people. No. Yeah, I picked this show up just by chance. I was looking at Funimation. I just wanted to watch something new, and I saw, oh, cool robots.
Well, Get a Robo is conspiracy theorist as well, because, hey, it's about lizard people that live underground that's trying to take over.
Hey, look, those dinosaurs were asking for it. Yeah, yes. Get a Robo is just about Monica Rial taking over the anime.
Yes. It's a, yeah, Get a Robo is about Reptoids.
But Amaim is about how Japan's economy is failing, and so
not enough people are having children.
Is that specifically what it is?
They mentioned that. They mentioned the declining growth rates as one of the reasons why the economy failed. And
nice.
Yeah.
So you guys got to fuck more. Otherwise, foreigners are going to come in, specifically American, I think Australian,
yes,
and Chinese.
And Chinese, woo.
They're going to come in and they're going to take over. But in it starts off like they came to help us.
Right.
But then they outnumbered them and turned into fascists.
And then they're going to sell your children into slavery. So
episode 5 is about selling people into slavery. Yeah, it is. If you turn off the subtitles, it's a pretty good robot show. Because, like, the reason I kept watching it was because this is a show where a robot drop kicks another robot.
Yes, that was cool. And yeah, it was like Dave said it.
Oh, yeah, Sasarager.
Yeah.
We hung out with him in Anime NYC.
Because another thing about it is it's like, it's very much like pro-traditionalist Japanese culture. Because, like, if you look at the end theme of the show, it's like, it's the main guy like floating in water, and then there are like shots of him and his friends like doing traditionalist Japanese things like painting bowls.
Oh my God.
And like doing tea ceremony and arranging flowers. Good Lord. And there's just like a shot of him like weeping in the water, like, this is what they took from us.
What?
One of my favorite lines in the show is when they're like, don't you care about uprising and fighting the government to get our rights back? And he says, I just think robots are neat.
Yes, and then
I don't care about politics. I just like robots.
And then one of his friends like literally pulls up like a phone video of like the Chinese murdering Japanese people. And he's like, this is what they're doing to us. How can you not care?
Well, and then if this is the same person, that's the person he has a crush on, and then she gets killed, he's like, all right, I guess I want to fight the government.
Yeah. Now. No, I was talking about like the other kid his age who's like his dad got murdered by like a ghost robot.
Oh my God, yeah, the ghost. I'm like 3 episodes behind. Have they found out who the ghost robot is yet?
No, they have not.
There's a robot that just wanders around. And it sustains on killing. It is apparently autonomous.
Yeah, like apparently it's an autonomous AI, and it just goes around destroying other robots. And when it gets injured, it just takes apart from other robots and just incorporates it into its own.
Yeah, it has special abilities to subvert their. What's the word?
Like
their security system?
Yes.
Because you can only use a gun if you have authorization to use that gun.
Yes.
It's like the fingerprint scanner in Cyber City 08. But this robot has the ability to
I was going to say the fingerprint scanner from Rock and Rolla.
There's a great moment with that scanner where the main character, Shiba, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He steals a robot's gun. He tries to shoot it. And his Tamagotchi is like, yo, dog, you can't use another robot's gun. It doesn't work that way. He's like, well, it still works as a club. And he bashes a robot's head off.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, like, all the main character robots have, like, little AI helpers.
Yeah. And they're, like, little cute sheep.
Yeah. Like Shiba's is a sheep. The other guy, his is a fox, and then the main girl, it's a deer.
I'm where she just gets introduced.
Oh, okay.
So it's a hell of a show.
Yeah.
But don't pay attention to the politics.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. Especially for like the Chinese episode where they sell people into slavery.
It got banned in China.
What?
Ooh, surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, there's
an episode. You guys gave me crap for watching Digimon, but it ain't going anywhere near that.
Yeah, there's an episode where the main guy, he's hiding out in a city, and they find out that like the city is run by the Asian military, which are the Chinese, and the Chinese look like evil pointy-haired monsters.
Yeah, they're like little monsters. Gremlins.
Yes, exactly. And something that they do is they round up Japanese people in this town and like secretly sell them into slavery.
Yeah, it's not great. There's a line where the head of the Chinese army in this area is like, "Take the girl. I don't care what happens to her." Wink, wink.
Exactly, which is heavily implying that
yeah,
she's being sold into prostitution.
It is not great. But it's all right because Shiva like jump kicks this guy or whatever he does. He like jumps over their great wall. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I didn't even realize that until just now.
Like, yeah, he jumps in with his robot and he like beats up the other robots. And then like the guy who's standing there, he like takes his robot's fist and he just like almost like punches him and kills him, and he's just like, "You better stay out of Japan or I'm coming back for you." And the guy's like, "Oh no, I just peed my pants, I'm sorry."
Can't be real. This cannot be a real thing.
Oh no, it's super real.
It's on Funimation streaming currently.
Yeah, and because like the thing is, there have been shows, the concept of like Japan is taken over by outside forces because of whatever has been a thing, because we had Code Geass and then we had like Guilty Crown, and Guilty Crown is like a bit more like this, but it's not as like heavy-handed about like you better have some children and move out to a rural area,
put on a kimono.
Exactly. Yeah, like Guilty Crown is nowhere near this, but
yeah, this show is like blatantly racist.
Yeah, but like the concept of like, you know, you gotta preserve our nationalist ways and keep these dirty foreigners out is not as prevalent in Guilty Crown.
I love when he steals the farmer's boat that is big enough to hide a robot on it.
Yes, I love the episode with the farmer, because what is it? There's an episode where like he steals a tomato from a farmer because he's starving, and the farmer's just like, The farmer's like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. He's just like, "You can help work on my farm and pay me back for stealing that tomato." And he is just, the kid is just like so enamored with like, you know, country life on a farm that he's like, "Oh man, maybe I want to do this." Wink, wink, like move out to the country, move out to these rural areas right now. And there's a moment where he has like a traditional Japanese meal and he's just weeping because he's just like, "Oh, my culture."
But and they have a good cop.
Oh, yeah.
Because the cops are coming to look for him. He's like, "I know you got this kid, but he seems to be embracing Japanese culture, so I'm not going to tell the American army or whatever."
Oh, him. I thought you were talking about like this like Char guy that they're setting
up. Oh, yeah. Well, they also have, the leader of the American army is supposed to be a good guy.
Yeah.
Because he likes Taiyaki.
Yes, he likes Taiyaki.
It's a lot. Kyle, have you been watching Ranking of Kings? I know me and Noel have.
No, you told me about it. It's on my list, but I got a next few weeks.
I am 3 episodes in. I'm watching the dub.
Okay. I watched the sub, and yeah, so far I like it. Boji, he's a good kid. I want him to be a king.
Oh man.
I want him to be the king, like the best king.
I like this show starts out the way that I hate when anime starts out, when they start out with their rule building. "In this world, there are kings and they get ranked. It's the ranking of kings." Yeah. Like, I hate when shows do this, but then it ends up being really good. Boji he's got to be like 7.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because he's like this bean child.
Sure. I think he's older than his brother, too.
He is older
even
than
though
his brother
looks older.
Yeah.
Wait, the kings get ranked? So is this a kingdom is this like kings as a popularity contest?
Yeah,
so it's like, technically a popularly elected king?
No, I think it's just who has the coolest ruler so they can brag about it on like Xbox Live.
Probably. Because, yeah, like, what was it? The they introduce Boji's dad, and Boji's dad is like the seventh ranked king.
Yeah, I think it's just bragging rights. I'm only three episodes in, though. It might come with other stipulations.
And they explain the way he became king is like everybody was fighting these orcs, and he just rolled up, and he was the best at fighting orcs, so they were like, you're king now.
I mean, that's what happened in Game of Thrones.
He was just the best at fighting, so they were like, you're king now.
Yeah.
Which, that's something that threw me off about episode two, because like when Boji and his brother have the fight, and Boji's doing pretty good because, you know, he's sticking and moving, but then everybody's like, oh, that's a lame way to fight. You got to trade blows. But it's like,
Boji was winning.
Yeah, Boji was winning. And also, it's like, I don't know why you guys are caught up with like regal decorum and shit like that, because your king is like a barbarian who became king by fucking up a bunch of orcs. And it's not like this was like generations down the line. No, this happened like within this century or so.
Yeah.
Because
he's still alive.
Exactly.
Well, and if those were real, they were fighting with wooden swords. If those were real swords, Boji would have killed his brother.
Yes.
Multiple times over. But they're like, you're cheating. And it's like he's dodging every one of his brother's attacks and getting blows on his head. Like, he would be dead.
Yes.
That's how you win a fight.
You got him.
There's no rules on the street.
Exactly. Have you guys never played Fire Emblem?
I was thinking Grappler Baki.
it's not about tanking blows. It's about dodging them.
Yeah.
That's why Swordmasters rock.
Well, they told Boji, they're like, you're not getting hit enough. Like, all right. So then he lets himself get beat to a pulp. Boji is deaf. It's an important note. One of the really unique things about this is it has a deaf main character. So a lot of the story is shown, not told, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, so like his mentor knows sign language, so he'll sign things to him. And also Boji can read lips, which not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
Like his cunty stepmother.
Oh my God. She's not a great person, but she did in episode three, she has an empathetic backstory.
Oh, okay.
So you've probably only watched episode one and two.
Yeah, I only watched episode one and two.
Yeah, you start to feel better about her in episode three.
All right.
It is such a great show. I think I'm going to stick with the dub, even though I want to, because I think like nine episodes are out. I'm tempted to go all the way, but I'm also really digging the dub.
Okay.
Because I don't have to think when I watch a dub. Let's see. Yashahime? Am I the only one that watches Yashahime? Really?
I'm the only one?
Shocker. It's the number one anime on TV. No. Yashahime season...
dozens of us.
Yashahime season two is actually much better than season one. Season one was really into just episodic but poorly written episodic episodes. So each episode would be like, I heard that there's a demon that, I don't know, has three dicks, and that demon could like give us a hint at how to beat the new Naraku main guy. Yeah, Naraku 2. And then they'll go and they'll be like, hey, demon with three dicks, tell us about how to beat Naraku 2 or we're going to cut your dicks off. He's like, I'm not going to tell you about that. I have three dicks. Why would I tell you how to beat Naraku 2? And then they cut off his dicks and he dies and they don't get any information. And then they're like, damn it, we cut off his dicks. I guess it's back to the drawing board. This is really quality podcasting. And every episode for 26 or 24 episodes is like that. And so season two is like the same garbage, but they'll stretch it over five episodes. So it feels like they're making progress now.
Nice.
So they've had like five episodes that like directly connect together lately. And it feels more like Inuyasha. Because Inuyasha, like the first couple episodes were very self-contained. But after a while, like it felt like there was a story there. So I think they got their footing. They learned what they fucked up with season one.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to fight time, I guess now. That's Naraku 2 just wants to fight time. Have you seen Tenant? He's pretty much the bad guy in Tenant. He wants to destroy the world because he's mad at time.
Nice.
Spoilers for Tenant.
You want to fight.
You have been watching Back Arrow. What can you tell me about Back Arrow?
Yes, oh my God. Back Arrow. Back Arrow is a good, fun time. Have you ever seen Code Geass? I know you've seen
Gurren Lagann.
Okay.
I've seen. Yeah. What about you, Kyle?
I've seen it. I've seen enough.
Okay.
I've seen it. Let's just say that.
Okay. Because was it?
I know they eat Pizza Hut.
Yes. Yes. It's a big old Pizza Hut commercial. So Back Arrow is this. They have Goro Taniguchi, but they also have a guy who worked on. He was a writer for Gurren Lagann. And you see that in this show. You see a lot of like Goro Taniguchi's sensibilities as well as this guy's sensibilities. Because basically it takes place in this world where like everything's surrounded by a wall.
I've heard this before.
And then like every couple of months or so, every like couple of weeks or so, like a thing will fall out of the sky that has like food or like medicines or weapons in it. It's called like a Rakuho. And one day, one of those Rakuhos falls, and it has a dude in it. And the dude's just like, I don't remember who I am. I just know I came from beyond the wall. And one of the weird things about the show is, like, people just, they cannot comprehend that. They're just like, no, that's not possible. People don't exist beyond the wall. The wall is just nothing. Like, like beyond the wall is nothing. And then people ask, like, but where do you think the Rakuhos come from? And they literally say, oh, no, they're pieces of the wall that fall off. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't, they cannot, their lives are so self-contained in this wall that they cannot even fathom the idea that anything exists beyond that. And so he's just like, yeah, no, I came from beyond the wall. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to go over the wall, and I'm going to fucking go back home. And they're like, man, shut the fuck up. You're an idiot. And like, that's literally where his name comes from, because what is it?
Oh,
at one point, yeah. At one point, someone calls him a Bacchetto, like a dumbass. And he's just like, yeah, that works. I'll call myself Back Arrow, because I don't know my real name. And it's this show where, like, just him coming down and, like, proving that there's something going on with this world beyond where the wall is, just starts this snowball where all sorts of events start happening, where, like, the nations of this world start to come together and, like, have major conflict. And also, I forgot to mention there are robots in this show.
Dope. But,
yeah, like, the robots are weird because basically, these people, they put like magic armbands on, and the robots form from like their mental convictions or some shit like that. So it's like, it'll be a guy who's just like, my conviction is that I always stand firm in adversity. And he puts his band on.
Yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah. And he puts his band on, and he makes like this big robot with a fucking spear or some shit. And yeah, it's. That is
is this more like Socrates, you know, parable of the cave, or is this more Truman Show?
I was thinking Truman Show as well.
You know what? Like, I'm not even sure because we have not, where I'm at episode 15, and we have yet to see like the people that exist beyond the wall. Like, at this point, you know, okay. Yeah, like there are definitely people beyond the wall who like they're doing something. Like, they're just like, I'm sure it's more just a thing of like, what if we just put people in this situation and what would happen? Cause there's somebody who has like, it's revealed that there's a person who has like a robot that can fly, and not too many people have those. So like your first thought is, well, if they're flying robots, why don't they fly over the wall? And then they show, yeah, like if you get to a certain height, there are these like, there's like this electrical field over the wall. So like, yeah, that's why they can't fly over the wall either. But yeah, it's an interesting show, and there are very like interesting characters in it. Like there's an emperor of this like sort of Chinese, sort of like a feudal Chinese kingdom who like he's able to beat up a robot with his bare hands.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's just,
I wonder what his king rank would be.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so his country is all about might makes right. And everyone's like, yeah, hell yeah, old man. But yeah, that's
nice. Carl, we've got about 3 minutes. Have you been watching any other anime other than Digimon?
Unfortunately, that's all my time has been put into. Digimon.
How much did Mamoru Hosoda to work on that show? Because you mentioned like only the stuff he did was good.
Right.
Yeah. He worked, I think that he was there for at least the first series. He did the first two movies. Like, that's really a better way of saying that, like, the good things about Digimon are actually just Hosoda things. Like, it's kind of incidental that they're Digimon.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then once it's other people. But, like, I don't know. It's just doing a weird thing, Digimon. I don't want to sound entirely negative, but, like, I also... It's just... I don't know why people... Like, I haven't watched the new reboot. I've heard that's good. But, like, it would take a miracle at this point.
So I guess you've been only sticking to like the like adventure,
I exactly. Guess, franchise. I'm not going into Tamers. Okay. I'm not touching anything. Like, this is just me trying to see what is going on with that first group.
Oh, okay.
I know very little about Digimon because I was a Pokemon kid, and I don't think I was. It must have aired on Saturdays. I don't know where people were watching it.
It's like, yeah, it's probably for the best. It's weirdly about like, it's just, yeah, don't do it.
Okay. So there you have it. Don't watch Digimon, but watch Amime probably.
Yes. Watch Amime.
Ranking of Kings.
And watch Back Amime, Arrow. But don't get radicalized by Amime, please. I'm begging you. Don't become a nationalist.
Become the cool robots guy. In the Gundam meme.
Yes.
Anyway, this has been the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. We are going to try to do these more often. I'm going to start releasing these on Wednesday, and then, of course, on WJMOE Radio. You can hear repeats at, I want to say, 4 o'clock. You'd have to look at the schedule. I'm a bad person. But Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then at 6 p.m. is episodes of Riketto Punchy, which is great. That's Bella, Russell, and Preston's podcast. So thank you both for coming on. Kyle, you are slowly becoming my news broom janitor co-host extraordinaire. I love that. I think you're gonna be on the next couple episodes. And Noel, I think you've been on every episode of this show lately. So yeah, you're kind of the Ray. I love this. I'm creating a podcasting crew again.
I'm the no name.
I just didn't know what to call the show that day, and that's how I opened the show.
I mean, yeah, that works. Anyway. That works as a name.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. Cheers.